Hey guys, this is Vyom Joshi with Superior North. Welcome back to my channel. Today we will be talking about Caterpillar. Caterpillar is the world's largest producer of earth-moving equipment. In this video, we will be going over the company's 10K to get a better understanding of the company's reportable segments, then review the company's fundamentals by focusing on its key ratios, and finally find the intrinsic value of the company. So let's dive in and review Caterpillar.
Hey guys, let's start off by looking at the Form 10K, which is the annual report that Caterpillar filed with the SEC. This is for the fiscal year that ended December 31st, 2021. And on page 4 of this report, the company provides us a better description of its business. The company states that with 2021 sales and revenue of $50.971 billion, Caterpillar is the world's leading manufacturer of construction and mining equipment, off-highway diesel and natural gas engines, industrial gas turbines, and diesel-electric locomotives. The company principally operates through its three primary segments: construction industries, resource industries, and energy and transportation. Caterpillar also provides financing and related services through its financial products segment. Finally, Caterpillar points out that it is a leading U.S. exporter, and through a global network of independent dealers and direct sales of certain products, Caterpillar builds long-term relationships with customers around the world. Next, on page 127 of this report, the company goes into further detail about its reportable segments. The company states that it has five operating segments, of which four are reportable segments. The first reportable segment is its construction industries segment. This segment is primarily responsible for supporting customers using machinery in infrastructure and building construction applications. Responsibilities include business strategy, product design, product management and development, manufacturing, marketing and sales, and product support. This segment's product portfolio includes asphalt pavers, backhoe loaders, compactors, cold planters, compact truck and multi-terrain loaders, excavators, and so forth. The second operating segment is its resource industries segment. This segment is primarily responsible for supporting customers using machinery in mining, heavy construction, and quarry and aggregates. Similar to the previous segment, the responsibilities include business strategy, product design, product management and development, manufacturing, marketing and sales, and product support. The segment's product portfolio includes large track type tractors, large mining trucks, hard rock vehicles, long wall miners, electric rope shovels, and so forth. The company claims that in addition to these equipment, Resource Industries also develops and sells technology products and services to provide customers fleet management, equipment management analytics, autonomous machine capabilities, safety services, and mining performance solutions. The segment also manages areas that provide services to other parts of the company, including integrated manufacturing, research and development for drivetrains, hydraulic systems, electronic, and software for CAT machines and engines. The third reportable segment is the Energy and Transportation segment. This segment is primarily responsible for supporting customers using reciprocating engines, turbines, diesel-electric locomotives, and related services across industries serving oil and gas, power generation, industrial and transportation applications, including marine and rail-related businesses. Similar to the previous two segments, the responsibilities include business strategy, product design, product management and development, manufacturing, marketing and sales, and product support. This segment's product and services portfolio includes turbines, centrifugal gas compressors and turbine-related services, reciprocating gas-powered generator sets, integrated systems used in electric power generation industries, reciprocating engines and integrated systems and solutions for marine and oil and gas industries, and so forth. The segment's responsibilities not only include the remanufacturing of Caterpillar reciprocating engines and components and remanufacturing services for other companies, but also provide product support of on-highway vocational trucks for North America. The fourth reportable segment is its financial products segment, which provides financing alternatives to customers and dealers around the world for Caterpillar products, as well as financing for vehicles, power generation facilities, and marine vehicles that, in most cases, incorporate Caterpillar products. Financing plans include operating and finance leases, installment sales contracts, repair rebuild financing, working capital loans, and wholesale financing plans. The segment also provides insurance and risk management products and services that help customers and dealers manage their business risks. Finally, Caterpillar has the All Other Operating segment, which primarily includes activities such as business strategy, product management and development, manufacturing and sourcing of filters and fluids, undercarriages, ground engaging tools, fluid transfer products, etc., parts distribution, integrated logistics solutions, distribution services, dealer portfolio management, and digital investments. Now let's go to page 130, where the company provides us a revenue breakdown by geography. For the year 2021, the company's total sales and revenue from reportable segments was about $55.4 billion, out of which the North American segment brought in about $22.2 billion, Latin America brought in about $5 billion, Europe, Africa, Middle East brought in about $12 billion, and Asia brought in about $11.7 billion. When we scrutinize the company's reportable segment sales numbers across these regions, we can see that the construction industry segment brought in the maximum amount of revenue across all the reportable segments. Additionally, more than half of the company's total sales comes from outside of North America. And as the company mentioned earlier, it is a big U.S. exporter. So if we expect the U.S. dollar to weaken against foreign currencies, then Caterpillar would be a good hedge, as we could anticipate the company's international sales to grow as those international currencies would strengthen against the U.S. dollar. Finally, for North America, construction industries and energy and transportation are that region's two largest segments. For Latin America, construction industries and resource industries are its two largest segments. For Europe, Africa, and Middle East, construction industries and energy and transportation are its two largest segments. And similarly, for Asia Pacific, construction industries and energy and transportation are its two largest segments. Caterpillar saw a decline in its sales in the year 2020. This was primarily due to the pandemic, where its sales all across the board saw a decline. In the year 2019, the company had a sales of about $58 billion. And when we compare that to the company's 2021 sales numbers, we can see that Caterpillar, for the most part, has its sales recovered to the pre-pandemic levels. Now let's look at the profit from reportable segments. For the year 2021, the construction and industry segment's profit was about $3.7 billion. The second largest profit maker, as far as dollar amount goes, was energy and transportation, which was about $2.76 billion. The company's total profit from reportable segment amounted to about $8.7 billion in the year 2021. In 2020, it was a depressed number of about $6.3 billion, which compared to the previous year in 2019 was at $10.3 billion. So even though the 2021 total profit from reportable segment is higher than the 2020 level, it has still not surpassed the pre-pandemic level of $10.3 billion. Now, if we focus on the total consolidated profit before taxes number, Caterpillar shows us a different picture, where the 2021 number is a lot higher than that seen in the year 2020 and 2019. This is because the company has reported a post-retirement benefit income for the year 2021 rather than an expense, which is what we've seen the previous 2 years. Finally, let's look at Caterpillar's asset breakdown. For the fiscal year 2021, the company's total asset from reportable segments amounted to about $55 billion, out of which the company's financial product segment amounted to about $35 billion. The reason why this number is so high is because with financial product services, this is the amount of money that Caterpillar has lent out to other people when they finance their equipment through Caterpillar. Caterpillar's total assets from reportable segments is higher for this year than the previous year. Overall, Caterpillar's total assets amounted to about $83 billion for the fiscal year 2021, as compared to the previous year where the company's total assets amounted to about $78 billion. Now that we have a brief understanding of Caterpillar's business, its four reportable segments, and its revenue breakdown, let's review the company's fundamentals by focusing on its key ratios. Hey guys, now let's look at the key ratios. I'm on Morningstar looking at Caterpillar. Under key ratios, we have the financials. The first item on the list is the revenue. The revenue is the top line of the income statement. This is the amount of money that the company brings in via sales. Back in 2012, the company's revenue was about $66 billion. Over the next few years, the company saw a decline in its sales, where its revenue dropped down to a low of about $38.5 billion in 2016. Over the next few years, the company saw an increase in its sales. It did see a drop in the year 2020 due to the pandemic, where it got to a low of about $41.7 billion. However, for the fiscal year 2021, the company's revenue amounted to about $51 billion. Next is the operating income. The operating income is the amount of money that's left with the company once we subtract the cost of goods and operating expenses from the company's revenue. Back in 2012, the company's operating income was about $9.2 billion. And for the year 2021, it was about $6.9 billion. Over the past 10 years, the company's operating income has a similar trend as the company's revenue. After that, looking at the net income is the bottom line of the income statement. This is the amount of money that's left with the company once it pays for the cost of goods, operating expenses, non-operating expenses, interest on its debt obligations, and taxes. Back in 2012, the company's net income was about $5.7 billion. And for the year 2021, it was about $6.5 billion. Ideally, we want to see the company's net income, operating income, as well as revenue to have a similar trend. That is, we want to see these numbers being positive, staying steady, or increasing. Over the past 10 years, the company's net income has a similar trend as the company's operating income and revenue. We do see one negative year, that is, the company reported a loss in the fiscal year 2016. However, over the past 10 years, other than that year, the company has always reported a profit. Next, looking at the dividends per share. Back in 2012, the company paid out about $1.96 per share as dividend. And for the trailing 12 months, that number had grown to about $4.28 per share as dividend. Caterpillar has not only paid out consistent dividends every year for the past 10 years, but it has also hiked its dividend every year for the past 10 years. Next is the shares outstanding. Back in 2012, the company had about 670 million shares outstanding. And for the trailing 12 months, that number had dropped down to about 549 million shares outstanding. Over the past 10 years, the company's shares outstanding numbers have been decreasing, which is good news for existing shareholders, as when a company buys back its shares, it actually helps increase the existing shareholders' ownership within the company. The fact that Caterpillar has been paying out consistent dividends and that it has been buying back its shares tell us that the company's management is shareholder-friendly. Next is the book value per share. The book value is what we get when we subtract the company's total liabilities from its total assets. Over the past 10 years, the company's book value per share has stayed consistent and has always been positive, which tells us that the company always had more assets than liabilities on its balance sheet. Finally, looking at the free cash flow. The free cash flow is what we get when we subtract capital spending from the company's operating cash flow. Back in 2012, the company's free cash flow was about $165 million. And for the year 2021, it was $4,726 million. Ideally, we want to see the company's free cash flow numbers to be positive, staying steady or increasing. And we can see that over the past 10 years, Caterpillar has always had a positive free cash flow number. I will be using this 2021 free cash flow number for my discounted free cash flow DCF analysis. Now let's look at the profitability of the company, focusing on the net margin. The net margin is the ratio of the company's bottom line to its top line, so it compares the company's net income to its revenue. Back in 2012, the company's net margin was 8.62%, and for the trailing 12 months, that number was about 12.73%. What this means is every $100 that the company made in sales over the past 12 months, by the time it paid for its cost of goods, operating expenses, non-operating expenses, interest on its debt obligations, and taxes, it had $12.73 left as pure profit. Next, looking at the company's return on equity. The return on equity is the ratio of the company's net income to its shareholders' equity. Warren Buffett prefers to only invest in securities that have a return on equity of 8% or greater every year for the past 10 years. Back in 2012, the company's return on equity was 37.36%, and for the trailing 12 months, that number was about 40.79%. There was one year when the company's return on equity was negative, that is back in 2016. This is because the company reported a negative income number for that calendar year. For majority of the past 10 years, the company's return on equity has been greater than 8%. The three ways of reporting high return on equity numbers is first when the company reports high income numbers, second is when the company buys back its shares, and third when the company takes on more liabilities, that is when the company becomes more leveraged, it can report high return on equity numbers. Next, looking at the return on invested capital, this number gives an idea of how good the management is at allocating the company's capital and getting a return on that investment. Back in 2012, the company's return on invested capital was about 11.42%, and for the trailing 12 months, that number was about 12.88%. Caterpillar's weighted average cost of capital, also known as the company's hurdle rate, is about 5.65%. And since the company's return on invested capital is greater than the company's weighted average cost of capital, we can safely say that the management is creating value for its shareholders. Finally, looking at the interest coverage. The interest coverage is the ratio of the company's income to its interest obligations. So it gives us an idea of how many times can the company pay off its interest using its income in that calendar year. Back in 2012, the company's interest coverage was about 19 times. And for the trailing 12 months, that number was about 18 times. Benjamin Graham, the father of value investing, preferred to only invest in securities that had an interest coverage of 5 times or higher. Now let's look at the financial health and liquidity ratios. The first item on the list is the current ratio. The current ratio compares the company's current assets to its current liabilities. Ideally, we want to see the company's current ratio to be greater than 1.0, as that tells us that the company has enough assets to fulfill its liabilities over the next 12 months. Back in 2012, the company's current ratio was at 1.43, and for the latest quarter, it's at 1.46. Over the past 10 years, the company's current ratio has always been greater than 1.0. Next is the quick ratio. The quick ratio is similar to the current ratio, except we disregard the inventory component. In other words, quick ratio is equal to current assets minus inventory divided by current liabilities. Ideally, we want to see the company's quick ratio to be greater than 1.0, as that tells us that the company does not have to rely on selling its inventory in order to fulfill its current liabilities. Back in 2012, the company's quick ratio was at 0.82, and for the latest quarter, it's at 0.89. Deere & Company, which is one of Caterpillar's competitors, has better current and quick ratios than Caterpillar. Next is the financial leverage. The financial leverage is the ratio of the company's total assets to shareholders' equity. A financial leverage of 1.0 tells us that all of the company's assets are financed via shareholders' equity. A financial leverage of 2.0 tells us that half of the company's assets are financed via shareholders' equity, and half of them are financed via liabilities. Back in 2012, the company's financial leverage was at 5.10, and for the latest quarter, it's at 5.02. Ideally, we want to see the company's financial leverage to be staying steady or decreasing. Ever since 2016, the company's financial leverage has slowly been trending downwards. Caterpillar is more leveraged than its competitor, Deere & Company. Finally, looking at the debt to equity ratio, this ratio compares the company's total debt to its shareholders' equity. Ideally, we want to see the company's debt to equity ratio to be less than 1.0. Back in 2012, the company's debt to equity ratio was at 1.58. And even for the latest quarter, it's at 1.58. Caterpillar's debt to equity ratio is comparable to its competitor, Deere & Company. Now let's look at the efficiency ratios. The first item on the list is the day sales outstanding. This number gives an idea of how many days go by from the day the company recognizes its sale to the date actually receives cash for that service rendered. Back in 2012, the company's day sales outstanding was at 102 days, and for the trailing 12 months, that number was about 122 days. Ideally, we want to see the company's day sales outstanding number to be staying steady or decreasing. What we do not want to see is a company whose day sales outstanding number is growing rapidly, as that tells that the company's management is being aggressive with its accounting, as it's trying to recognize its revenue sooner so that it can inflate its income numbers on its income statement. In the case of Caterpillar, the company's day sales outstanding has stayed fairly consistent over the past few years. Next is the day's inventory. This number gives an idea of how many days does the company's products sit in its inventory before they're sold. Back in 2012, the company's day's inventory was about 115 days, and for the trailing 12 months, that number was about 129 days. Ideally, we want to see the company's day's inventory number to be staying steady or decreasing. In the case of Caterpillar, the company's day's inventory number has slowly been trending upwards. Finally, looking at the payables period, this number gives an idea of how many days does the company take to pay its suppliers. Back in 2012, the company took about 57 days to pay its suppliers, and for the trailing 12 months, that number was about 72 days. Ideally, we want the company's payables period to be staying steady or decreasing. What we do not want to see is a company whose payables period is growing rapidly, as it tells that the company may be trying to hold on to its cash in order to artificially inflate its cash flow numbers on its cash flow statement. In the case of Caterpillar, the company's payables period has slowly been trending upwards. However, it's not growing at a rapid pace where it's a cause of concern, but this is certainly something to keep an eye on. Now let's look at Caterpillar's current valuation. The first item on the list is the price-to-earnings ratio. Caterpillar has a PE of 18.7. The company's price to book is at 7.2. The company has a price to sales of 2.4. It has a price to cash flow of 16.8. And finally, the company has a dividend yield of 2.0%. When we compare Caterpillar's current valuation to its 5-year average, we can see that on all the valuation metrics other than the price to earnings ratio, Caterpillar is overvalued compared to its 5-year average. If we compare Caterpillar to the S&P 500, and the S&P 500 is the aggregate of the top 500 companies in the United States, and we can think about the S&P 500 as our opportunity cost. Caterpillar is undervalued compared to the S&P 500 based on the price to earnings, price to sales, and the dividend yield metrics. Now let's look at Caterpillar's discounted free cash flow DCF analysis. Over here, I based the company's 2021 free cash flow number that I got from Morningstar, which was $4,726 million. I'm using an annual growth rate of free cash flow to be 8%. What this means is I expect the company's free cash flow to grow at 8% every year for the next 10 years. I'm using a discount rate of 10%. What this means is I want this investment to give me an annual return of 10%. In other words, I want to double my investment in about 7 years. I'm using the long-term growth rate to be 2.427%. What this means is after the 10-year mark into perpetuity, I expect the company's free cash flow to grow at 2.427%. This number is in line with the U.S. 30-year treasury yield. The company has 549 million shares outstanding and has a long-term debt of $25,954 million. After taking all of these inputs into account, we get the company's intrinsic value to be about $125.8 per share. And when we compare this intrinsic value to the company's current stock price, which is about $221 per share, we can see that the company's current stock is trading about 1.76 times the company's intrinsic value. The way we calculate this intrinsic value is we look at what the free cash flows would be every year for the next 10 years. We sum up all those free cash flows, which come out to about $42 billion. Then we look at what the free cash flows would be after the 10-year mark into perpetuity. We sum all those up to get the intrinsic value to be about $95 billion. From this number, we subtract the long-term debt and divide by the shares outstanding to get the intrinsic value per share to be about $126. If we disregard the perpetuity component, in other words, if you think that Caterpillar is only going to grow for the next 10 years and then it'll cease to exist, then we get the intrinsic value without the perpetuity to be about $31 per share. And if we disregard the debt, in other words, if you think that Caterpillar is going to grow into perpetuity, so there's no point for the company to worry about paying off its debt, then we get the intrinsic value without the debt to be about $173 per share. Finally, let's try to figure out what kind of return can we expect to get on this investment if you were to invest in the security at the current stock price. For that, I will set my sell to the intrinsic value. My two value will be my current stock price, which is about $220.91 per share. And I will run this analysis by changing the discount rate. What I get is, if I were to invest in the security at the current stock price of about $220.91 per share, I can expect to get an annual return of about 7.6% on this investment. Overall, Caterpillar is a market leader with good fundamentals. The company faces challenges securing semiconductors, electronics, and other parts needed to manufacture heavy equipment. The supply side problems, along with labor and transportation issues and elevated input costs, especially steel, has caused the company's expenses to soar. So in the future, if Caterpillar is unable to pass on these costs to the end user by raising its prices, then its profit margins are likely going to suffer. Lastly, Caterpillar is a cyclical business, so its performance is heavily dependent on the underlying economy. If the economy worsens, then we can expect Caterpillar's performance and its stock price to suffer. Hey guys, that is all I had for you this week. Hopefully you found this video on Caterpillar interesting. If you like this content, please do like, share, comment, and subscribe. And if you have any suggestions on which stock I should review next, please leave in the comment section below. I'll greatly appreciate it. Thank you.